Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. One of the advantages one has in speaking after a number of others is that I don't need to go into great detail, because what has been said already this afternoon, I think, makes a very strong case for the need to strengthen our collective procedure for monitoring scientific and technical developments. Certainly, the case made by the distinguished representative of the United Kingdom, who pointed out that reviewing monitoring scientific and technical developments is relevant to virtually all of the articles of the convention, not only the basic prohibitions, but the articles that deal with assistance, that deal with international cooperation and scientific exchange. And I would simply underscore that. And we can certainly agree with previous speakers as well that this is a process that should be state-driven. It should be responsive to the needs of the states parties to the Chemical Weapons Convention to help them fully understand the benefits of scientific and technical developments, as well as the risks. That it should be a process that has the broadest scope, the broadest range in terms of gathering information through the participation of all interested member states, but also drawing on the much greater resources, really, of the broader scientific community. And we need to find a way to make our process, the process that we hopefully will agree on in November, inclusive as possible of not only technical expertise, but as geographically diverse as possible. But one element that hasn't been mentioned, it is an important element in having an effective mechanism for reviewing scientific and technical developments, is the provision of adequate resources to the process. There are a number of proposals on the table. They vary in their details on, for example, the composition of this process. But all of them have important financial implications. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that if we are going to have an effective process, we need to provide adequate resources. Adequate resources in terms of support from the implementation support unit to ensure that they have the resources they need to provide the background documents to identify sources of information and expertise, but also to fund the meeting time that we will require. The various proposals on the table typically talk about a week of expert discussion. And that costs money, not only for interpretation, but for translation of documents. And very important to help ensure that there is as broad participation as possible, we need to consider making financial resources available for sponsorship, to a limited degree certainly, but we already recognize the importance of sponsorship in attending these meetings. And it is certainly true, it certainly will be true, of ensuring that countries with technical expertise are not prevented from attending simply because of a shortage of resources. So I want to put this factor on the table. I would hate for us to get to a point where we have reached a convergent approach on the mechanics and the mandate, but have not considered the financial implications. It's not an easy thing for many governments. It certainly goes well beyond the foreign ministries that most of us represent. So I want to ensure that that gets put on the table as well. And finally, Mr. Chairman, we certainly agree with the suggestion made this morning that those countries that have presented proposals, and my country is one of them, try to discuss together, build on the common elements that are present in these proposals, and work out their differences so that in November it will be possible to adopt a consensus decision on this subject. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.